So welcome to Coffee Contrails. Today we're here with Steve Capasso, playwright from the Gossip Queens. We just finished recording that. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hi.
We're also here today with the cast, lovely group of ladies. So we've got Carmela, played by Stephanie James. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Welcome. Donna is played by Kristen Mason Martin. Hello, Kristen.
Hello.
And Veronica. Veronica is played by Luisa Cardosa. Hello, Luisa.
Hello.
So welcome. Thank you so much for reading today. It's been like, it's so good. You've knocked it out of the park. It's so much fun to listen. So thank you. This is a great comedy sketch. Steve, why don't you tell us a little bit about the story? Like, how did you come up with this play, the idea? Where did it come from?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been fascinated with mobs and mob movies growing up in New Jersey. It was pretty common to read stories in the newspaper about the mob and people getting whacked and so on and so forth. And then, of course, all the movies that came out, Goodfellas, and you know, there's a whole bunch of them, The Godfather, and then the TV series, The Sopranos, and I've just always been fascinated with the mob. And you know, in later years, a lot of the Italian mobs got whacked themselves by the judicial system, and a lot of the guys either went to prison or died. And I just came up with the idea, well, since there's no men around, and I was kind of fascinated with the women alongside the men, what would it be like if the women were to take over and run the business? So that's kind of where it came out of. And I just thought, oh, it's got to be a funny piece because of all the women I remember in my own family growing up, Italian women, seeing women on TV who were caricatures or characters of mob guys. And I just thought, yeah, this is going to be fun to do.
Well, it's been fun. Thank you for lending this story to Coffee Contrails. It's been fun today. Yeah. Carmela, tell us about yourself. Stephanie, what have you been doing? What are you up to these days?
Well, a whole lot and a whole lot of nothing. It just kind of depends on who you ask, really. So I'm not involved in a lot of acting. I'm more involved in the music side of things. So I've kind of just started, with your help, getting into a lot more of the voice acting in this new chapter of my life. And I'm absolutely loving it. This was super fun. I would like to get more involved into some of the local plays and local theater that we have here where I live. I sit in Oklahoma City, and we do have a lot of smaller playhouses that are really, really great. So I enjoy going to see all of our local productions. So now that I'm kind of in a place with my full-time job where I can start doing some of that, I'd like to get more involved in it. So thank you for having me here today, Steve. This was a joy.
No, Oklahoma, there's a spark of creativity coming out of there.
Yes.
No, you guys are really busy cranking creative content out. So, what your music, what's your band?
I actually sing in a blues band. And we are a kind of a non-working band because we have one person that started it. It's called Shadow Man Blues Project. And he works through our local jazz. We have a university here that has a jazz studies program. And so every time we play somewhere, we have a completely different group of people. There's two or three vocalists that are, we're regulars, plus our lead singer, lead guitar, and then everybody else is traded out. Sometimes we have professors, sometimes we have students, sometimes we have local professional musicians that sit in with us. And so one of the pieces I kind of got into was, since we're not a working band, we don't have a crew, when we switch out instruments or reset the stage, I usually come up and start telling jokes or reading stories or recognizing birthdays and anniversaries and things like that. And suddenly I got pinged to start narrating some pieces. So we would like bring the lights down and then start resetting the stage to my voice and kind of got into doing some of that work. So it's been different. It's been interesting. And then I sing at my local church. I sing the national anthem for the Oklahoma City Thunder, for our baseball team, our soccer team, I sang for our hockey team for years. So, you know, whatever comes up, I'm usually down for it.
Well, you're a natural at this voice acting stuff.
Thank you.
This is not the first rodeo that you've been running with the Coffee Cotrills. Appreciate the prior stories that you've participated in. Adam and the Woman of the Trees.
Yes, I enjoyed both.
Really enjoyed working with you on those other pieces. So every time working with you, it's a professional, top-notch work. So thank you.
Thank you.
Where can people find you? How can they follow you? How can they hire you?
Well, I have a Voice 123 page as of today. So we're going to get that set up and running, because I would definitely like for people to be able to find me so that I can do more of this. I truly enjoy it.
Very cool. And Donna, Kristen, what are you up to these days? What's going on with you?
I'm kind of on hiatus from acting for a little while. I own my own theater company. I'm the artistic director of Invictus Theater Company of Denver. We are looking for funds, which Julia, you're helping us find grants. But in the meantime, it's kind of on hold. I'm also looking for a job. So I'm not as busy as I would like to be. You can find me on Facebook. That's where I am most of the time. I have a LinkedIn account. I have, you know, all that other stuff, but I hardly ever check it or anything like that. So,
And people to find you would search under Kristen Mason Martin?
Yes. Cool. Yes. Yeah. Oh, and I'm also going to be writing a piece for Coffee Contrails coming up in October, November, that time frame, and we'll be working on that.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that first draft. That's always, yes.
It's a ways away.
It's going to be good.
But I got the ideas rolling up in here.
Good. All right, Louisa, what's happening with you?
Well, I am also looking for work, and I'm really recalibrating my search and looking more towards work that involves my voice, radio, audio production. It's slim pickings out there, and sadly not as lucrative as one might think. And I'm not looking to get rich. I certainly just want to be able to pay bills and not have to worry so much about money. But the reason why I'm recalibrating is that I realized that I need to find a way to do the things that I'm passionate about, to keep, you know, engaging in the things that I'm passionate about. And if I can do that full time, great. If I can find a gig that will allow me to do it even part time, that's also great. I am logging into Voice 123 right now to re-up my profile. I do think I need to get myself out there a little bit more in terms of voice work. But I have been doing a lot of audio production work, doing recordings and helping helping producers with podcasts and things like that, interviews for podcasts. And
you've got a couple creative, you have your own show that you've just recently relaunched after the COVID pandemic stuff. Tell us about that. What's going on there, and how can people find that show? Yes.
So we, I and the co-creator of the Sloth Storytelling Show, just relaunched about a month ago on online. There is a Facebook page, The Sloth Storytelling Show, and people can find me on social media as well as on LinkedIn, and hopefully soon Voice 123 again. The Sloth was a is an amalgamation of the Moth Storytelling Hour and the fact that we live in Santa Cruz and that the banana slug is the mascot of UC Santa Cruz and kind of the mascot of the area. So between the moth and banana slugs, we decided to come up with the sloth. And my co-creator is the wonderful DNA of DNA's Comedy Lab and of the Santa Cruz Comedy Festival. He's a genius and so funny. And there is a whole host of folks that are involved with us that have come on over the years. But we have a really great group of writers and comedians and storytellers. And I think that it'd be nice to figure out a way to get the sloth out there a little bit more widely than just on Facebook Live, and you know, do some more promotions.
Yeah, I think the sitting in a similar place, I hear diversification is sort of the key word that keeps. I keep hearing this in different podcasts, different recommendations that you need to diversify how you get your message out there and the number of different kinds of things that you're doing. Finding different, not only like Facebook, but other media channels. And with the recent news of TikTok, that might not be the one, I don't know, but right.
I have a friend that does a DJ set on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays on Twitch. So that may be a platform that we explore. Also, YouTube, of course, is kind of the go-to for a lot of content like this. I have a love-hate relationship with TikTok. I dare say that I do enjoy some of the videos that I've found there. And they're funny. And then there are times where I just watch people whoring themselves and I'm very turned off by that. Mm-hmm. The whole monetization piece of it is it's hard to wrap my brain around because on the one hand, yes, of course, people want to, you know, make a living and have these outlets, but on the other hand, it just seems so hoary.
It's not your life.
Yeah, it's not
my
life.
To make a distinction between your personal life and your brand. Your brand might have your face in it, but to separate those two things, I absolutely agree with you that people who are selling themselves instead of their product or their service, whatever, their brand. It's sticky.
Sticky.
I remember I used to do conferences, booth babe kind of stuff, right? And I'd be trying to sell my book and my game and like trying to sell my stuff. And, you know, people just wanted my number. And I'm like, no, I'm not selling me. I happen to be sitting here, but I'm trying to sell you my book. It's not about me selling me. So I appreciate the distinction.
TikTok. Definitely.
Monetization. So. And it's hard. There's a lot of AI mm-hmm. content now, even like bleeding into the voice, that you can use AI to, read stuff for you. But I think the natural, the part of coming together with people is it needs to be a valued thing. And then as consumers, we have a choice about where we consume our content and where we put our money. And I think we kind of forget about, you know, that aspect, that our ability to place our money into projects and programs and people that share our values. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I'm now on a soapbox, but you can tell I've been really thinking about this stuff.
Well, it's relevant. I mean, it's relevant for our times right now. There are, we're on the precipice of a very just interesting, and I mean that in a good way and in a sort of curious, foreboding way. I think the scariest thing for a lot of people about AI is that we really don't have enough information about what we want it to do. I think that we understand what it can do, at least to a certain extent. But I think the biggest issue right now is, how do we want to use it? And that's, I think that's going to be a conversation that keeps evolving, as we understand the technology more and more and start to see it in practice.
Yeah, I have to, like, part of me thinks that some companies are marketing it sort of like dodgeball. Where it's a leveler. It takes people who don't have the creative writing or voice acting or musical talent. It takes somebody who doesn't practice, who doesn't work at the craft, and levels them up, that they can suddenly have their own blog and put their name on it, or they can have their own song, put their name on it. And I equate that to, like, you know, the games that played in, you know, grade school, where there is no one winner. Everybody is the same. And I just, that's not realistic life to me. We all have our special capabilities, right? We all have our Superwoman, Wonder Woman powers. And to find those in yourself and cultivate that, right? Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I'm on my soapbox again. But I do think that the people on this call, you're all very talented individuals. And please don't be disheartened by being in the prototype phase of this AI thing that I think was promised to be one thing and is turning out to be something else.
It's an imperfect monster, but it is a monster. Monster in a big way and monster in a bad way. But it can also be like Monsters, Inc. in a good way. We just have to use it for good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great analogy.
Steve and Kristen, you know, both of you, you write, you're playwrights. What are your thoughts? Do you think authors will continue to put their copy online to be scraped by these tools? Or do you think there'll be like a kind of a renaissance of bookmaking or something, that people will go back to print only in order to protect their intellectual property?
Good question. I feel like artists are already like revolting, because there's been, you know, a lot of, especially like visual artists. I don't know, you know, I've seen a lot of AI art being printed, and I have a lot of visual artist friends who are just appalled by this. I myself have never like seen a lot of AI like plays or any, you know, in writing or anything like that, but I have seen a lot of visual, and to me I think it is like you guys said, it is a monster. And I'm hoping that things will kind of turn around and it will be used in a creative but and also in a way that's protective of artists' work.
Maybe a little more responsibly would be nice. I absolutely agree with you that some courtesy to other people who've taken 20 some years to build their career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's still all unfolding for me, this whole new technology called AI. And I guess I lean a little bit towards being apprehensive about it. And I see the potential of doing really great things and then potential to do really dark and evil things with it. So I'm not sure. I think if we can come up with like international guidelines that everybody agrees this is how we're going to play the game, would be helpful. But like Louisa was saying, there's always going to be people who are going to use it for nefarious reasons and harm and manipulation and so on and so forth. As it pertains to art, I guess it does have its place. I mean, I don't see how you cannot allow it into the system because it's just so incredibly powerful. It's a powerful tool. I certainly don't want to see it overtake humans in terms of creativity. So, you know, I just kind of wonder about that. Would I go to a play that was written by AI? Probably. I'd want to, out of curiosity, I want to see what it can do. But there's
at one point you may not know. At one point you may not know the difference.
Yeah, and that's kind of scary a little bit, you know. I want to know that a play is written by some artificial intelligence versus something that's written by a human being. So maybe we
need to start signing our work with our thumbprint.
Or maybe they have to put like a warning, like they do with cigarettes, you know, a warning out there on the poster that says this play has been written by, you know, AI, caution, you know, could cause cancer or something. I don't know.
You know, it's funny that you say that. We at the radio station, when the pandemic hit and all of the students had to go home, students figured out a way for folks to continue to program. And we came up with a way to record remotely and then upload it to our server and schedule it. Mm-hmm. And we require every time the person comes on the mic to remind people that it's a pre-recorded show. Now, it's not AI, but it's pre-recorded. And, you know, we know that people are tuning in at all different times during the show. So we just feel it's important, you know, to let people know. And yeah, it's the same thing when we put folks on the air. You have to say, you're on the air, so that they know that their voice is going out over live. Exactly. So there's already a precedent set for things like that. And I really do like the idea of a set of standards. You know, we have that in writing, and other things that we use that are standards in the industry, in whatever industry we happen to be in. So it'd be nice to see that. And that will evolve sooner rather than later. And it's probably going to be a working document as it were, because the technology is going to change, the uses are going to change. So see.
No, this is, thank you everybody once so again awesome. For participating. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you, ladies. I mean, you awesome. Knocked it down. Thank you so much. Thank
yes, you. This has been great.
Thanks for sharing it with us. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, yeah, so great to meet all of you. And this was super fun.
Yes. Thanks, Julian.
Thank you.
All right. I am stopping the recording right now, and have a great weekend, everybody.